This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, this is Ann Hagerstrand coming to you from the Radio Reading Services of the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. I will be spending the next hour with you reading TV listings from the Cincinnati Inquirer for Tuesday evening, April 30th, as well as the USA Today Live section. Starting with TV listings. 7 p.m. Tuesday evening, April 30th, WLWT NBC Channel 5, WLWT News 5 at 7, WCPO ABC 9, WCPO 9 News at 7. WKRC CBS Channel 12 Inside Edition. CINCW 12.2 Modern Family. WXIX Fox 19 Wheel of Fortune. WKRP 25 La Casa de los Famosos. WCET PBS 48 The PBS News Hour. Minute 64 Big Bang Theory. NBC 2, Inside Edition, CBS 7, Wheel of Fortune, PBS 14, DW News, PBS 16, The Day, ABC 22, Family Feud, Fox 22.2, Big Bang Theory, CW 26, Young Sheldon, ION 43, Chicago Fire, PBS 54, The PBS News Hour. 7:30 p.m. Tuesday evening, April 30th, NBC 5, Access Hollywood, ABC 9, Extra, CBS 12, Entertainment Tonight, CINCW 12.2, Modern Family, Fox 19, Jeopardy, WKRP 25, La Casa de los Famosos, PBS 48, The PBS News Hour. Minute 64, Young Sheldon. NBC 2, Jeopardy. CBS 7, Entertainment Tonight. PBS 14, News. PBS 16, Europe. ABC 22, Family Feud. Fox 22.2, Big Bang Theory. CW 26, Young Sheldon. ION 43, Chicago Fire. PBS 54, The PBS News Hour. 8 p.m., Tuesday evening, April 30th. NBC 5, Lopez vs. Lopez. ABC 9, Will Trent. CBS 12, FBI. CINCW 12.2, Crime Nation, Murder in a College Town. Fox 19, The Cleaning Lady, WKRP 25, La Casa de los Famosos, PBS 48, Finding Your Roots, Fathers and Son, Minute 64, Chicago Fire, NBC 2, Lopez vs. Lopez, CBS 7, FBI, PBS 14, Changing Planet, PBS 16, Finding Your Roots. ABC 22, Will Trent. Fox 22.2, The Cleaning Lady. CW 26, Crime Nation, Murder in a College Town. ION 43, Chicago Fire. PBS 54, Finding Your Roots. 8:30 p.m. Tuesday evening, April 30th, NBC 5, Lopez vs. Lopez, ABC 9, Will Trent, CBS 12, FBI, CINCW 12.2, Crime Nation, Murder in a College Town, Fox 19, The Cleaning Lady, WKRP 25, La Casa de los Famosos, PBS 48, Finding Your Roots, Fathers and Son. Mine at 64, Chicago Fire. NBC 2, Lopez versus Lopez. CBS 7, FBI. PBS 14, Changing Planet. PBS 16, Finding Your Roots. ABC 22, Will Trent. Fox 22.2, The Cleaning Lady. CW 26, Crime Nation, Murder in a College Town. ION 43, Chicago Fire. PBS 54, Finding Your Roots. 9 p.m. Tuesday evening, April 30th. NBC 5, Weakest Link. ABC 9, The Rookie. CBS 12, FBI International. CINCW 12.2, Crime Nation, Murder in a College Town. Fox 19, Alert, Missing Persons Unit. WKRP 25, La Casa de los Famosos. PBS 48, The Expressway with Jewel Hill, Appalachia. Mine at 64, Chicago Fire. NBC 2, Weakest Link. CBS 7, FBI International. PBS 14, A Brief History of the Future. PBS 16, The Expressway with Jewel Hill. ABC 22, The Rookie. Fox 22.2, Alert, Missing Persons Unit. CW 26, Crime Nation, Murder in a College Town. ION 43, Chicago Fire. PBS 54, Her Name Was Grace Kelly. 9:30 p.m. Tuesday evening, April 30th. NBC 5, Weakest Link. ABC 9, The Rookie. CBS 12, FBI International. CINCW 12.2, Crime Nation. Fox 19, Alert, Missing Persons Unit. WKRP 25, La Casa de los Famosos. PBS 48, The Expressway with Jewel Hill, Appalachia. Mine at 64, Chicago Fire. NBC 2, Weakest Link. CBS 7, FBI International. PBS 14, A Brief History of the Future. PBS 16, The Expressway with Jewel Hill. Jewel is spelled D-U-L-E. ABC 22, The Rookie. Fox 22.2, Alert, Missing Persons Unit. CW 26, Crime Nation, Murder in a College Town. ION 43, Chicago Fire. PBS 54, Her Name Was Grace Kelly. 10 p.m. Tuesday evening, April 30th. NBC 5, Password. ABC 9, The Good Doctor. CBS 12, FBI Most Wanted. CINCW 12.2, The National Desk. Fox 19 now at 10 p.m. WKRP 25, El Señor de los Cielos, C-I-E-L-O-S. PBS 48, Frontline. Mine at 64, Local 12 News. NBC 2, Password. CBS 7, FBI Most Wanted. PBS 14, Nova. PBS 16, Escape to the Chateau. ABC 22, The Good Doctor. Fox 22.2, News. CW 26, News. ION 43, Chicago Fire. PBS 54, Frontline. 10:30 p.m. Tuesday evening, April 30th. NBC 5, Password. ABC 9, The Good Doctor. CBS 12, FBI Most Wanted. CINCW 12.2, The National Desk. Fox 19, Fox 19 Now at 10. WKRP 25, El Señor de los Cielos. WCET PBS 48, Frontline. Minus 64, Big Bang Theory. NBC 2, Password. CBS 7, FBI Most Wanted. PBS 14, Nova. PBS 16, Escape to the Chateau. ABC 22, The Good Doctor. Fox 22.2, News. CW 26, News. Ion 43, Chicago Fire. PBS 54, Frontline. 11 p.m., Tuesday evening, April 30th. NBC 5, WLWT News 5 at 11. ABC 9, WCPO 9 News at 11. CBS 12, Local 12 News at 11 p.m. CINCW 12.2, The National Desk. Fox 19, Fox 19 Now at 11 p.m. WKRP 25, Noticias, Noticias. WCET PBS 48, Amanpour and Company. Minet 64, Young Sheldon. NBC 2, News. CBS 7, News. PBS 14, BBC World News. PBS 16, The Art Show. ABC 22, News. Fox 22.2, iCrime. CW 26, Friends. Ion 43, Chicago Fire. PBS 54, BBC World News. 11:30 p.m. Tuesday evening, April 30th. NBC 5, The Tonight Show. ABC 9, Jimmy Kimmel Live. CBS 12, The Late Show. CINCW 12.2, The National Desk. Fox 19, Friends. WKRP 25, Noticias. PBS 48, Amanpour and Company. Minet 64, Two and a Half Men. NBC 2, The Tonight Show. CBS 7, The Late Show. PBS 14, DW News. PBS 16, Articulate. ABC 22, Jimmy Kimmel Live. Fox 22.2, Modern Family. CW 26, Friends. Ion 43, Chicago Fire. PBS 54, Kentucky. And that completes the TV listings for Tuesday evening, April 30th. USA Today Life section for Tuesday, April 30th. Lifeline, Making Waves. Blue Ivy joins her mom. Surprise! Blue Ivy Carter has joined her mom Beyoncé in the cast for Mufasa, Disney's new live-action Lion King prequel directed by Barry Jenkins of Moonlight. The first trailer, released Monday, reveals that Blue Ivy, age 12, voices Kiara, the daughter of King Simba, voiced by Donald Glover, and Queen Nala, voiced by Beyoncé, and Lin-Manuel Miranda is writing the songs. The film, an origin story for Simba's father, arrives in theaters December 20th. It's your birthday. Who's celebrating today? Travis Scott is 33. Ana de Armas is 36. Kirsten Dunst is 42. Horoscope by Sanctuary. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. Say hello to a motivational burst. Ready to act on your personal goals? Assert yourself with Mars in Aries. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. A surge of energy is on the scene. Feeling provoked within? Unresolved inner conflicts begin to surface. Gemini, May 21st through June 21st. Be assertive in your social sphere. Group dynamics are charged up. Ready to rally for your cause? Cancer, June 22nd through July 22nd. Go out and make your mark. Feel your ambition rushing to the surface? You are driven to succeed. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. Life is an adventure. Explore uncharted terrain. You're ready to move past what you've known. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. Have the courage to confront your fears. Cut through the psychological debris. Libra, September 23rd through October 23rd. The heat is turning up in connections. Relational passion stirs up. This goes for conflict, too. Scorpio, October 24th through November 21st. You are ready to work. Capitalize on the heightened motivation. What's your first to do? Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. Desire to express yourself? A passion project propels you to act while Mars is in Aries. Unleash your creative drive. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th. Your home life gets energized. Mars moving into Aries activates your domestic world. How will you direct this excess energy? Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th. What's on your mind? You'll be sure to let them know. Assertive debates become your thing. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th. Considering a financial risk, you are more impulsive with your money. Is it a smart buy? Music review. Stones Thrill on new tour with Jagger leading the way by Melissa Ruggieri. Houston, it's not only stunning, but it's somewhat miraculous that more than 60 years after their first tour, the Rolling Stones are still filling stadiums. It's even more head-spinning to realize that along with their treasured hits, the Rolling Stones are enhancing their set list with a trio of songs from last year's well-received Hackney Diamonds, their first album of original material in 18 years, and the impetus for this 16-city tour. We'd call it a victory lap, but frontman Mick Jagger is better suited for marathons. At the kickoff Sunday at Energy Stadium in Houston, the core triumvirate of Jagger, Keith Richards, and Ronnie Wood, along with their supporting cast of exceptional musicians and singers, hit the massive stage to the sounds of Richards slashing out the riff of, fittingly, Start Me Up. Jagger, the nimble CEO of Stones Inc., peacocked in a silver shimmering jacket, his elastic legs a mere pedestal for his rotating torso. Richards, still owning his disheveled pirate look with a knit cap and multicolored scarf dangling from his hip. And Wood, grinning continuously and occasionally scampering down the lengthy catwalk, retained their roles as faithful consigliere. There isn't a patch of smooth facial skin among them. Jagger and Richards are 80 and Wood is 76. But with the energy to plow through an 18-song, 2-hour set, yes, shorter than previous Stones shows, but still fulfilling, no one is looking to crown them pageant winners. While the band needed a couple of songs to fully find their groove, the striding cadence of a reworked Get Off of My Cloud and a ramshackle Rocks Off felt curious rather than robust, Jagger compensated with his riveting presence and still supple vocals. Along with the Hackney Diamonds songs, plucked for their major live debuts, the band played a few of the new tracks in an intimate New York club gig in October, including the feisty Angry, an encore of gospelized Sweet Sounds of Heaven, the 1966 tune Out of Time, also received its U.S. debut. The band revived it last year during some performances for the Overseas 60 tour. I don't think you really knew it, but you got to know it, Jagger said with a smile after leading the nearly full stadium through the arm-waving chorus. As typical for a Rolling Stones production, the stage ran the width of the stadium, blanketed with screens beaming images of the band with magnificent clarity. Close-ups of drummer Steve Jordan, who assumed rhythm duties after the death of original drummer Charlie Watts in 2021, joyfully thundering through the gym, painted black, and birthday boy Chuck Leavell, ripping out a fleet-fingered solo on his Yamaha keyboard on Honky Tonk Woman, Women, offered fans a peek at the magic happening a few feet behind Jagger and company. During the always visceral Sympathy for the Devil, as serpents and fire crawled across the screens, Jagger prowled through the sinister groove, augmented by percussion provided by background vocalist Bernard Fowler and chunky bass lines from Daryl Jones. Keyboardist Matt Clifford added French horn to You Can't Always Get What You Want, as Jagger, playing an acoustic guitar, strolled through the message of acquiescence, that escalated into a gospel throwdown. The horn duo of Carl Denson and Tim Reese coated many familiar anthems, Jumpin' Jack Flash and Miss You among them, with their rich brass sounds. But as fans have realized over the decades, the ominous Gimme Shelter remains a centerpiece of any Rolling Stones concert, and Jagger has a new onstage playmate in powerhouse background vocalist Chanel Haynes. The woman who starred as Tina Turner in the West End musical of Turner's life and officially became part of the band last year steamrolled through Gimme Shelter with a voice blaring attitude and vigor. As she and Jagger strolled the catwalk, sharing vocals and chemistry, Jagger wisely backed off a couple of times, allowing Haynes to unleash her theatrical verve. But this is still Jagger's circus, and whether he's bobbing like a jittery prize fighter or wiggling his shoulders like the world's most slender Chippendales dancer, he is an octogenarian who captivates. The band has enlisted various openers throughout the tour. In Houston, blues rock guitar ace and Texas native Gary Clark Jr. landed the opening night slot and for 45 minutes enchanted the mostly full stadium. With a large band, 5 musicians, 3 background vocalists, behind him, Clark was the epitome of cool in dark shades and a bandana as he took the stage with Mactub from his recently released 4th album, JPEG Raw. Clark is a big name for an opener. Then again, it is the Rolling Stones, and he used his time well with massive licks on the Crunch Rockers' Bright Lights and This Is Who We Are, with singer Nala joining him. The soul-inflected, Feed the Babies, Seared, as a set highlight, as the singer-guitarist displayed sizzling playing and a breezy vibe for the crowd. Movies. O'Connor, Feist, Talk Homoerotic Challengers by Patrick Ryan. For Mike Feist and Josh O'Connor, it's game, set, match on Challengers. The sought-after heartthrobs are cheerful yet slightly delirious after a month-long global press tour for the buzzy tennis drama, now in theaters, in which they play best mates turned bitter foes pining for the same girl, played by Zendaya. Now at the tail end of promo duties, they've grown accustomed to prosaic interviews questions. Who's the best tennis player? We're over that, Feist says with a grin. Yeah, it should be obvious that it's me, O'Connor quips. While they insist they're having the time of our lives, there are things they miss most about home. For Feist, it's his rescue dog, Austin. For O'Connor, it's his cherry tree, a birthday gift from friends that is just now starting to bud. I miss my garden more than anything in the world, the British actor says. I've got a friend who's looking after it, and she sends me pictures every few days. This is not even lying. I cry when I look at them. Feist compares the movie's erotic churro scene to a game of tennis. Challengers begins in 2019 as the diffident Art Donaldson, played by Feist, prepares to face off in a low-level tennis tournament with the desperate, cash-strapped Patrick Zweig, played by O'Connor. Through flashbacks, we discover that Art and Patrick were a once inseparable doubles team until they met Tashi Duncan, played by Zendaya, an alluring and fiercely driven tennis star who takes up coaching after a college injury. Tashi and Patrick dated before he broke her heart, and Art eventually swooped in to marry her. The guys couldn't be more different. Patrick is all brashness and machismo, while Art is sensitive and insecure. The truth of the matter is, we probably find ourselves somewhere in between both characters, Feist says. They're like the dichotomy of man. The charged dynamic between Patrick and Art is impossibly hot. In the film's tantalizing first half, the guys are constantly grabbing, slapping, and roughhousing with each other. During a three-way, they quickly forget about Tashi and just start making out with each other. They're routinely pictured sweaty, shirtless, or nude, gazing into the other's eyes as they wolf down phallic-shaped foods like bananas and protein bars. In one homoerotic moment, Patrick pulls Art close in a university cafeteria, speaking intently as Art takes a ravenous bite of Patrick's churro. The actor spent weeks rehearsing and running lines together, so by the time filming started, they could improvise as their characters. That scene in particular is just about the interplay between them, Feist says. So when Josh is holding that churro right to my mouth, it's so obviously there that I'm going to take a bite of his churro, laughs. But that's the great thing about working with Josh. He tees you up for something, and I hit the ball back. It's like a game of tennis. We're just giving each other something to play with. At one point, while surrounded by naked men in a locker room, Patrick swipes through men and women on a dating app. The character's sexual fluidity has been a swoony topic of conversation on social media, which O'Connor credits to the dearth of male intimacy in mainstream American movies. There's been a lack of that imagery and those conversations in films for a long time, and it's thankfully getting better, O'Connor says. But in this movie, what's so nice is the relationship between the three of them, whether you want to call it love or obsession. Tashi wants them together. She's attracted to the two of them as a thing. You hope people walk out of the theater with this realization that they all need each other. Tashi is forcing this fire underneath them to create this great game of tennis, Feist adds. She's able to pull out something magical and transcendent. O'Connor finds it intimidating to release challengers. After years of independent dramas and supporting TV roles, Challengers marks a major leading man moment for O'Connor, age 33. The charismatic actor won a Golden Globe in 2021 for playing Prince Charles of Wales in The Crown, but accepted the prize remotely because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The release of Challengers was also delayed nearly 9 months due to the Hollywood actors' strike last fall. As actors, you really can't plan for anything, O'Connor says. You get very used to not making holiday plans because you might get a job and have to cancel them. It's very hard to commit to birthdays or weddings or anything. But he's been grateful for the slow ease into stardom. The nice thing about it was that it delays the point in which loads of people are going to watch you on screen. That's quite an intimidating thing. Feist, age 32, has similarly been waiting in the wings. After earning a Tony Award nomination for Broadway's Dear Evan Hansen, Feist got his big screen breakout as Rith in Steven Spielberg's reimagined West Side Story in 2021. The movie musical was a box office disappointment due in part to the Omicron surge. But he credits the project for giving him confidence as an actor to ask questions and offer input behind the scenes. When someone like Steven Spielberg, the godfather of cinema, comes to you like, "No, you got this. I trust you. I hired you." That's a really empowering thing, Feist says. I'm forever indebted to him. When it comes to their careers, both actors believe in cosmic connections and timing. Before the pandemic, Feist auditioned for the now Oscar-nominated Past Lives. Although he didn't get the role, he sent a note to director Celine Song complimenting her beautiful story and wishing her well. 2 years later, while shooting Challengers, Feist learned the film's screenwriter, Justin Kuretskis, is Song's husband. "I'm coming to the realization that we don't choose projects," Feist says. "They kind of find us in a roundabout way." O'Connor, too, wrote multiple letters to director Alice Rohrwacher, trying to force a collaboration. They eventually did work together on this spring's La Chimera, C-H-I-M-E-R-A. The punchline is that she never received the letters. She just reached out on her own, which says a lot, O'Connor recalls with a laugh. Having said that, I will be writing to Paul Thomas Anderson. Health and wellness. Eilish's comments about sex shocked some, by David Oliver. Billie Eilish has always been outspoken, but recent comments she made about sex in a Rolling Stone profile turned heads. "I basically talk about sex any time I possibly can," she told the outlet. "That's literally my favorite topic. My experiences as a woman has been that it's seen in such a weird way. People are so uncomfortable talking about it and weirded out when women are comfortable in their sexuality and communicative in it." She added, "Self-pleasure is an enormous, enormous part of my life," saying it helps her connect with herself and sharing what she enjoys. She also talked about embracing her sexuality and realizing her desire to have sex with women. People have since criticized her comments. "I mean, I think in general people should be more open in regards to talking about sex. But in one day, I've learned way too much about Billie Eilish's sex life without searching for it," one Twitter user wrote. Another said, I'm the problem. I agreed with the Gen Z is ready is really sex negative take. And now we all have to know in detail how Billie Eilish masturbates. My fault, guys. I'm sorry. Experts say Eilish is right. When women talk a lot about sex, it can make people uncomfortable. But women should feel free to say much as they please. And if you don't get that, you're the problem. If this situation describes you, check your biases and remember that no one should be made to feel ashamed of their sexuality or body, says Leonora Tannenbaum, a slut-shaming expert writing a book on sexy selfies. Women are often shamed for discussing sex. It makes sense why women have historically found it difficult to talk about sex. We grow up in a society that sexualizes women, but only from a male gaze, says Celeste Holbrook, sexologist, speaker, and author. We want women to be sexual, but only for men. To that end, women are often uncomfortable to discuss sex because we're punished for it, says Allison Moon, author of Girl Sex 101. It's not hard to find examples of people shaming women for the number of sex partners they've had or the kinds of sex they enjoy. Owning our sexuality often comes with a price, whether it's humiliation, rejection, or just garden variety slut shaming. Not to mention that sexual encounters for some young women are often traumatic or violent. Research documents a high prevalence of non-consensual choking, slapping, and name-calling during sex, and certainly many women are the victims of sexual coercion and assault, says Lori Mintz, a licensed psychologist and professor of human sexuality at the University of Florida, and author of Becoming Cliterate, C-L-I-T-E-R-A-T-E. Plus, media rarely shows accurate example of female pleasure, and we even erase it in regular conversation. We also call the entirety of women's genitals a vagina, thereby linguistically erasing the part of women's bodies, the vulva and the clitoris, that give them the most pleasure, and instead calling women's genitals by the part most useful to men than to women themselves, Mintz adds. Billie Eilish is on to something. Sex experts are proud of Eilish's bold quotes. Comments like Eilish's are shocking to some because they are refreshingly without shame, even for such taboo subjects as masturbation, Moon says. The comments are reflective of a larger societal sexual shift. Contrary to conservative attempts to control and deny our fundamental sexual nature, we are living in incredibly sexually liberated times, Moon adds. We have moved light years beyond the sexual mores of our parents and grandparents. Eilish represents the refreshing possibilities that we have access to when we step away from shame. In short, if people are rattled by Eilish's frank language, it's because they are uneasy when a woman expresses sexual independence and rejects the idea that she needs a partner, Tannenbaum says. If talking about sex proves difficult for you, don't fret. Read up and push past your shame. You might even have shame without realizing it. Shame can be internal. We feel broken or bad for our desires, Moon says. Or it can be external, politicians, pastors, and parents telling us we're wrong. Even our peers can shame us based on the false narratives that they have internalized. Avoidance is not the answer. People should not just avoid being sexual as a solution to the toxic culture surrounding women's sexuality, because we know that positive sexuality is associated with better life satisfaction and better relationship satisfaction, Mintz says. Instead, they should educate themselves by seeking out books and articles written by sexual scientists, Also consider visiting a certified sex therapist. The best antidote to shame and faux gender wars is knowledge, Moon adds. Seek out respected, scientifically backed, and culturally liberating sex resources. Maybe then you'll be happier than ever. And that's in quotes. Health and wellness. Someone who hoards likely does so because of this. By Daryl Austin. If you or a loved one engages in the practice of hoarding, know you are not alone. According to the American Psychiatric Association, about 2.6% of all Americans, more than 8 million people, struggle with the disorder. Though this behavior is common, it was only accepted as a psychiatric disorder in 2013. Among the things we have discovered about the condition is that using appropriate language can be helpful. It's best not to call someone a hoarder, for instance, and to instead refer to them as someone who hoards, as none of us are our disease or disorder. It's also helpful to learn how to assist someone engaged in the behavior and to know that people who hoard often feel like they can't help themselves. What is hoarding? Hoarding is a mental health disorder in which someone has an ongoing compulsion to hold on to their belongings, which causes them to accumulate a significant number of possessions and clutter. In addition to being hard for the individual to part with their items, the person often has a strong desire to acquire items in the first place, explains Brad Schmidt, a distinguished research professor of psychology at Florida State University. It's also worth noting that while many of us can relate with the desire to hold on to certain belongings, someone who hoards generally feels that way about nearly all of their possessions and feels significantly distressed at the thought of parting with any of them, notes Gregory Chasson, an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral neuroscience at Chicago. Why do people hoard? The exact causes have not been defined, but are thought to be a combination of factors. Hoarding disorder is believed to involve both genetic and environmental factors, says Marla Diebler, a clinical psychologist based in Princeton, New Jersey, who specializes in the treatment of hoarding disorder. On the genetic side, she says, it's known that people with family members who hoard often have similar difficulties and are at increased risk for developing the condition. On the environmental side, one could have been raised in a scarcity mindset where everything was taught to have value or be useful at some point. People who hoard believe they might need the item later, or that somebody else could use the item, or that the item can serve a purpose they haven't yet discovered, Jason says. Other times, he says, a person may not want to contribute to environmental waste or may have attached sentimental value to multiple items, and getting rid of them becomes emotionally painful. How to help someone who hoards? No matter the reason someone hoards, it's essential to help them slowly and respectfully. But helping is important. Being surrounded by too much clutter can impede one's quality of life, especially if one's bedroom or kitchen are so full of items that tables and appliances and beds can't be used for their intended purpose. There's also an increased fire hazard and likelihood of pest or rodent infestation. An important first step is to help someone recognize why making a change is important. Instead of complaining and getting angry, it will likely be more productive to have a non-judgmental discussion about how the behaviors are having a negative effect on your relationship, and to express concern about the loved one's health and safety, and to offer help managing the clutter, offers Schmidt. When it comes to cleaning and organizing the space, it's critical to avoid forced cleanouts, cautions Chasson, and to work on the project hand in hand with the person who hoards. It can be helpful to have organization piles such as keep, trash, or donate. Offloading some items to a self-storage unit can be another strategy to help someone part with many items at once without feeling like they have to part with the items forever. This can also help them acclimate to the idea of not having the items anymore and can give them a chance to see how good a clean space in their home feels. A storage unit can also help with feelings of being overwhelmed and paralyzed because there is so much that needs to be done, says Schmidt. At the same time, it's important to keep such a transition temporary so that someone who hoards doesn't just. I always tell people to get a month-to-month lease and to make sure a storage company isn't going to increase the rent on you after a couple of months, or using a storage unit this way can become quite costly, advises Brooke Bradshaw, the COO of Town Storage. Getting to the root of why someone hoards is also important. Just eliminating or organizing existing clutter is not sufficient, because clutter is usually a symptom of a broader issue, says Chasson. Seeking professional help and practicing cognitive behavioral therapy may be the best ways of accomplishing this. Find a professional experienced in hoarding disorder, advises Diebler. Along the way, be collaborative, be patient, be empathic, be positive, and praise progress, even if it's slow. Health and wellness. Check your bra. It may be the wrong size. By B.B. Hodges. 80% of women wear the wrong bra size. This statistic has been touted for decades, according to a New York Times article. While that same article challenges this measurement and the idea that there is one right size, it does acknowledge ill-fitting bras are a common problem. You deserve to find a comfortable bra. We wear it for so long and all day, says Amelia Newman, Intimates technical designer at Adore Me, a women's intimates brand based in New York. And it's not like just a sweater that you throw on. It's a garment that's doing something. We talked to Newman to discover how to find a bra that feels good on your body. What does ABCD stand for in bra size? First, let's go over the basics. Your bra size is made up of your band size and your cup size. According to British lingerie brand Catherine Hamilton, the band size refers to the size of your rib cage and is represented by numbers 32, 34, 36, etc. The cup size refers to the difference between your rib cage measurement and your bust measurement. This tells you how much bigger your breasts are than your rib cage, not simply the size of your breasts, and is represented by letters A, B, C, etc. How do I measure my bra size at home? To find your bra size, you'll need to separately determine your band size and cup size using a soft tape measurer. You'll want to do this while wearing a non-padded bra. First, find your band size. Wrap the soft tape measurer around your ribcage. Place the ends of the tape measurer under the folds of your breasts, where the underwire would go, and keep the tape parallel to the ground. Take a few deep breaths and record your ribcage's measurement while inhaling. According to Newman, measuring on an inhaled breath will help make sure your bra doesn't feel too tight when you breathe. Next, find your cup size. Wrap the soft tape measurer around your back and place the ends of the tape at the fullest part of your bust. This is usually at the nipples, but not always, says Newman. Again, you want to keep the tape parallel to the ground. Take a few deep breaths and record the measurement when the tape feels snug, but not too tight. Here, you want a bit of a tighter fit than the band. Here's the thing, what measurements translate to which bra sizes vary across brands. Unfortunately, there's not a universal thing which is super frustrating for everyone that buys clothes, says Newman. Look at the size guide of the brand that you're buying from and see what size you are based on your measurements. How do I find a bra that fits? Newman highly suggests ordering multiple sizes when bra shopping online. It's so personal. Keep an open mind to try on a few sizes. Try the sister sizes, and maybe you're going to like the fit better. Sister sizes refer to bra sizes that have the same volume in the cup, but a different band size. For example, 34B and 32C are sister sizes. Sister sizes are helpful if you are sensitive to tightness around the band or the size of your rib cage is changing. Keep in mind that if you need a smaller band, go up in the cup ladder. If you need a larger band, go down in the cup ladder. So for example, if the band feels too small while wearing a 32C, then try on a 34B. Ultimately, what matters is that you find a bra that feels good. Newman adds, there is no exact right or wrong for how you want to wear the bra. Is pineapple good for you? Nutritionists answer commonly searched questions. By Hannah Yashiroff. Pineapple, the fruit found in fruit salads and piña coladas, controversially placed on top of pizza and used under the sea to house SpongeBob SquarePants. Pineapple consumption is on the rise in the United States. It has more than doubled since the year 2000, and more than 8 pounds of fresh pineapple were consumed per capita in 2022, according to the latest available data from Statista. Does pineapple offer health benefits? Here's what nutrition experts have to say. Is pineapple good for you? Pineapple offers several health benefits, including vitamin C, fiber, B vitamins, and minerals, including copper, potassium, and magnesium, according to the Cleveland Clinic. It's also low in calories and has no cholesterol, sodium, or fat. But overall, diet experts want to remind people that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to eating healthy. The healthiest food in any category will depend on you, your budget, your culture, your health goals, and so much more. Registered dietitian Miranda Galati previously told USA Today, it's amazing to make more nutrient-dense choices when possible, but choosing the more processed or convenient option isn't always a bad thing either. As a registered dietitian who wants you to build a healthy lifestyle that lasts, I'd recommend ditching the idea that there's a healthiest version of anything. Is pineapple high in sugar? Not more than several other fruits. 1 cup of pineapple chunks contains 16.3 grams of sugar, which is lower than several other fruits' sugar contents, including pears, oranges, apples, cherries, and mangoes, according to data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Search Database. And it's important to note that natural sugars, such as the ones found in fresh fruits, are different than those found in other sweet treats like cakes or cookies. For those with diabetes or other blood sugar issues, eating fresh, frozen, or canned pineapple with no added sugar is usually a better option. Dried fruits often include added sugar, according to the American Diabetes Association, and fruit juices on their own can lead to blood sugar spikes. The main difference between eating a piece of fruit and drinking fruit juice is that the latter usually removes the fruit's fiber, which is what helps slow down the body's blood sugar response. Registered dietitian Abby Sharp tells USA Today. That doesn't make one better or worse, but experts note that pairing a non-fibrous fruit juice with a more balanced meal containing fiber, protein, and/or fat can help better regulate the blood sugar and deliver a higher quality of nutrition. When not to eat pineapple. Foods such as pineapple that are high in acidity can exacerbate symptoms for individuals with acid reflux, gastroesophageal reflux disease known as GERD, and tooth sensitivity, sharp notes. Consuming high amounts of vitamin C and bromelain, which are enzymes that digest protein, could also potentially cause issues including diarrhea, excessive menstrual bleeding, and skin rash, per WebMD. And of course, you shouldn't eat pineapple if you're allergic to it. According to the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, those with latex allergies may be more likely to be allergic to several kinds of fruit, including bananas, tomatoes, and pineapple. And that wraps up this hour of reading from USA Today's Life section, as well as the TV listings for Tuesday evening, April 30th. This comes to you from the radio reading services of the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired.